Hi, I'm Chris Kepler, and welcome to Does This Happen to You? I'm an actor, voice actor, audiobook narrator, and writer. I love telling and sharing stories about the strange experiences my friends and I have while doing mundane things like grocery shopping. That's why this podcast features funny stories from fantastic writers about our daily anomalies, a micro audiobook about life and befuddlement just for you. Our story this week is from Thunderpuff, who you'll find on Medium.com. And here is How to Not Date Jerks. My first real breakup taught me to raise the bar. I used to consider one specific jerk to be my first real adult relationship because 1. We dated exclusively for over a year. 2. We attended his painfully awkward family functions together. 3. We were both old enough to have credit cards. Very mature patriotic American equals debt-ridden, correct? Okay, good. Just making sure I'm doing it right. In hindsight, however, I sincerely question my understanding of the words real and adult as they pertain to our relationship. Why? 1. We never talked about marriage or cohabitation, or even a simple key exchange. 2. We never made serious long-term plans like, what are you doing later today? 3. Most importantly, he never included me in any decisions. And I'm talking about the ones that impacted both of us, like what movie we should see together. Wanted to see Elf. Watched Matrix Revolutions. Still mad. It's true that, had I ever decided to punch him in his enormously stupid face, the courts would have correctly prosecuted me as an adult, but I was really more of a mostly literate, highly emotional Gumby. This makes some sense if you buy the current theory of brain development. My frontal lobe was still under construction at the time and thus missing a few details, namely the details that point and laugh and say, fuck off, weirdo. Eventually and thankfully, that relationship did end with a whimper. The whimper. Me standing in his doorway holding a collection of my things, a Jane's Addiction CD, a bottle of shampoo for dry, stressed-out hair, my Scooby-Doo slippers, and a single dirty sock. I was crying as the chorus, "If I can't have you, I don't want nobody, baby," looped in my cream cheese brain. I genuinely wish someone, in an attempt to snap me out of that garbage affair, had smacked me, repeatedly. I don't generally like calls for violence against myself, but I'd absolutely make an exception here. It probably wouldn't have worked, but I still wish someone had slapped me, or really kicked me hard in the shin. I totally would have slapped or kicked me. As a matter of fact, if I could go back in time, I would track me down. Right before I headed into the theater to see Matrix Revolutions, I would kick the ever-loving crap out of my shin. Then I'd shout an array of vegetable-based insults regarding my stunted intellectual development before saying, "Now, go watch Elf." But I'd eventually forgive me for beating me up because it was for my own good, and the cycle of abuse continues. I wish I could say that immediately following the breakup, I decided to take a long pause from dating in order to meditate, eat leafy greens, and reassess what constituted a healthy relationship. That sounds boring. What am I, well-adjusted? Don't be gross. Seeing as I was still mourning some delusional ideal I'd woven out of fairy dust, sugar sprinkles, and systemic patriarchy, I decided that the best way to move on with my life was to abruptly jump into another relationship. To clarify, the most embarrassingly basic definition of a relationship. You are generally aware of one another's existence and have intentionally seen each other more than once. How I'm misusing the word relationship. You, I, spend many fruitless hours trying to have a semi-meaningful conversation with him while his sole ambition appears to be seeing you naked. Thumbs down emoji. I'd essentially just gathered up all my unresolved baggage, run to the nearest dude, and declared, I'm naive and have an irritating level of easily exploitable insecurity. Thoughts? Then, when I inevitably wasn't happy and it predictably didn't work out, I was left with this big friggin' mystery. What could I be doing wrong? Why am I here again, surrounded by all these same feelings? Why am I missing another goddamn sock? No, seriously, where the fuck are my socks? The way I see it now is like this. Rebounding is sort of like swearing off bourbon after a night of binge-drinking Manhattans. You think you've got it figured out, you'll just stop drinking bourbon. Then 3 hours later, you're waist-deep in Cosmos and fried cheese sticks because, YOLO, also your brain is wet macaroni. The deal is this. You've got a problem and changing liquors or jumping to another bad relationship ain't going to fix it. The real question is, why do you keep giving yourself a hangover? I'd obviously lowered my boyfriend bar, and by the time I was done with that first relationship, my bar had melted into the Earth's core. So, given my less than impressive standards, I'd figured nearly anybody was better than that last guy. But just because you hit rock bottom doesn't mean you don't bump into a few falling rocks on your way back up. Initially, in my rebound, I had made the mistake of thinking that since this new guy let me choose a movie once in a while, this was a healthy reciprocal relationship. Soon we'd be simpatico, making plans and considering one another's, I don't know, feelings and stuff. But I'd merely traded bourbon for vodka. Note, please do not mistake this stupid analogy as a slight at either bourbon or vodka. As a matter of fact, I prefer bourbon, but I don't go around bragging about how many shots I did on Friday night. I subsequently slept on the floor and wore the same sweatpants for 3 days. Actually, this note was a mistake. Does that mean your boyfriend or girlfriend bar should only be visible through the Hubble Space Telescope? Well, if you'd prefer to be alone forever, which is a perfectly legitimate option, then yes. But raising your relationship bar to nosebleed levels can lead to loneliness and frustration. It can also make you an asshole. No one likes being condemned because they ate all the leftover birthday cake me, or they laugh a little too loud in the movie theater, my husband Sherman, or because they hate documentaries about fashion designers, me and I'm guessing a good 80 to 90% of humanity. Flaws and imperfections in the right person can be beautiful, and the right person will never make you feel like shit for being imperfect. Yeah, I know, they're cliches because they're true, so keep reading and then we'll all pretend we're in the empty platitudes section, see popular on Medium, by mistake. What I'm getting at is that before I could have a decent relationship, I had to raise the bar. And before I could raise the bar, I had to figure out why the hell I kept hanging out with jerks. It's called therapy. The end. No, really, that's it. I went to therapy and now I'm fine. Okay, this one area of my life is fine. Seriously, the end. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the story, let me know and share it with your friends. Follow me at ChrisKKArya on Twitter or Chris K. Kepler on Facebook, or check out my website, www.chriskepler.com.